Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour, a national satellite radio program, and we are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is February 26, 2015. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And in emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address, and all that's over at our blog, which is prophecyhour.com. Now, prophecyhour.com is very smartphone friendly, as if you scroll down on the right-hand side, when you get there, there's a thing that says End Time Radio Archives. At the End Time Radio Archives, they have apps for your smartphone. As I hear that about 50% of the people that listen to radio nowadays are listening by smartphones. Anyway, I want to remind you that we are, other than being just live on it, we're a national satellite radio program, and it costs us for airtime. And so I ask that you please consider a donation to help us cover airtime, because it's not free, and Messiah's Branch doesn't sell anything. And so we ask that you pray about supporting radio. Anyway, you can find all the information to donate at prophecyhour.com, and you'll hear that later in the program. Now, a prayer, and we will bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, and you see home to see his name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, and not necessarily our guest's will, but your, Father, your will. So please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, bless this program tonight. In your mighty son's name, Yeshua HaMashiach, amen and amen. Well, according to the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, verses 15:1-9, it was on that day that the practice of simitah, or remission, occurred. Now, I probably mispronounced the word, but the Hebrew word means to let fall or release, and it refers to a day when debt is let go, and debts between the people of Israel were forgiving. Well, we're going to hear about this tonight from the author of the book, The Beginning of the End, Michael T. Steiner. He also has a blog called the Economic Collapse Blog, and if you haven't subscribed to that, you're really missing out. He puts some great articles and things that will really make you scratch your head, let alone he has some things over there for people that are preppers or like to prepare. So let's just get Michael on here and talk to him. Michael, are you there with me tonight?
I'm here, Pastor Dan. It's really great to be back on with you again.
Well, I'm always glad to have you on. I point to your blog first, the Economic Collapse blog, or the Economic, I guess it's just the Economic Collapse. You really do some wonderful articles over there. You just research all the time, or what?
Yeah. Thankfully, I'm able to do this with my full time. A number of years ago, I was actually an attorney. I worked right in the heart of Washington, D.C., right down on K Street. But I was becoming very disturbed about what was happening to our society, the direction of this nation, the corruption that I saw all around me. And so I thought, well, what in the world can I do? I'm just some average guy who gets up and goes to work every morning. Well, you know, eventually the Lord led me to start writing, to start blogging. And so I started writing, putting some things up on the Internet. And at first, very, very few people took notice of what I was doing. But over time, the audience started to build. And then in 2009, I started the economiccollapseblog.com. And it really took off. It really struck a chord because people, they were losing their jobs, they were losing their homes, they didn't understand what was happening, and they knew they weren't getting the truth from the mainstream media. And so I started writing, I started, and over time, the audience has just exploded. Today, the Economic Collapse blog gets more than 1 million page views each month, and then my articles are distributed on dozens of other major alternative news websites all over the Internet. People are familiar with Infowars.com, Zero Hedge, et cetera, et cetera. So they're on dozens of other sites where they're seeing it an additional millions of times per month. So the Lord has given me this platform to be able to communicate with people, which I'm very, very humbled by, very privileged to be in this position. So I'm able to do this full time now. So my wife and I, we just work from home here in our little house in the mountains of Idaho. And we really enjoy doing this. But, you know, we feel like not only us, but all over the nation, and just like your radio show, God is raising up watchmen, you know, part of his remnant to sound the warning message in these last days of things that are coming to this nation.
Yeah, amen. Absolutely. Comment about your blog a minute. Yeah, folks, you can sign up for the blog to where you get it. You know, he sends you an email with the latest article. And, you know, Michael, I send those articles out all over the place and on my mailing list. And sometimes I post the complete article with a link back to your website on my blog site so people can see it. And sometimes I take the articles and I put them in our mail out newsletter because there's so, you know, they're just right on the money, brother. And so praise the work that you're doing. It's funny that you know, now you talk about the economic collapse, and we're going to talk about this thing called the release, at least as you're going to explain it to the folks for us. It seems fitting that you would be one to do that.
The Shemitah year, which we're in now, is an incredible phenomenon. And you know, some of your listeners might not be familiar with this. For example, I've been going to church all my life, and it was only a few years ago that I became aware of this phenomenon. But what we have to realize is that God is not on our calendar. God has his own calendar. It goes back to the very beginning when he created the heavens and the earth. He said the sun and the moon will be for signs and for seasons. And, you know, most people are familiar with the seven-day week. Why do we have a seven-day week? Well, God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. That's the Sabbath. So every week, my wife and I, when it comes to Friday evening, because the biblical day starts at sundown, every Friday evening, my wife and I have ceased from our work. We rest for that 24 hours, and we observe the Sabbath. We remember that God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day, and we look forward also to the Sabbath, the millennial reign, which is coming in the future. So this is God's calendar, and it has cycles, it has patterns, and it's not just the weekly cycle, but there's a yearly cycle of 7 years.
And let me break in for a minute. I love what you're saying. It's just I can't let the Sabbath, what you said about Sabbath go by without making a comment of my own. Folks, if you have not, I've been keeping the Shabbat for about 25 years, Michael, and you know, it was hard at first to get into it because, you know, where we live at, we're the only people that do it, you know. We go to Wichita. There are some other people over there. But the point isn't that. Is that, like everywhere, like tonight, after I get off radio, radio is going to be the last thing that I do tonight, even though the Shabbat isn't until Friday. But I'm going to use that as getting ready and looking forward towards the Sabbath, because it's such a release. We shut off the world, even if the mountains of bills are due on the first day of the week. We shut off thinking about that. We think about God and our family, you know, the Father, and it's a release. And so it's that weekly release, and with that weekly release makes us able to cope with the world the rest of the time. You know what I mean, Michael?
Oh, I completely agree with you, Pastor Dan. My wife and I, we've been celebrating Sabbath, keeping Sabbath for close to 8 years now, and it's been such a tremendous blessing. In the scriptures, for example, Deuteronomy 28, it says there's great blessings for keeping the commandments of God. And since we've been keeping the Sabbath and the festivals and all these other things, our life has become incredibly blessed in every area of our life. Just immense blessing. You know, people say sometimes, wow, Michael, you're so fortunate to have these websites to be, you know, read by so many people and this and that. But you know what? I would have never gotten here if I was not walking in the blessing of God, observing these things.
Amen.
And believers all over the world are starting to wake up to this, up to keeping God's commandments and the blessings that come with us, with it. And so, you know, we're just part of that remnant that's kind of waking up. But, yeah, the Sabbath, at first, when you start doing it, like you said, it's a difficult adjustment because we're not used to thinking of that way. But once you get into it, we look forward to the Sabbath so much.
Oh,
it's such a blessing. Right. It's such a relief from the week. And it just re-energizes you, and it's such a great time with the Lord. So, yeah, if you're listening out there and you haven't tried it, give it a try. You'll be amazed at what God does in your life.
Yeah, amen. In fact, my wife will say, she'll say, even though we came out of the world, we didn't start getting blessed until we started keeping the Shabbat. And it is just, I just can't describe it. It's such a blessing. And then we find, Michael, that, you know, then we started following other commandments, you know, but the Sabbath was the one that showed us that how out of sync the rest of the world was with the Word of God, you know. And so that made everything else fall into line. But we started, you know, doing like everybody. We try to attempt to do the best we can to keep His commandment. But the more that we try to please Him and keep His Torah, it's just, you know, it's just such a blessing. I can't put it to words.
Yeah. Oh, and when you line up with God's calendar and what God wants you to do, there's so much blessing in it. And you know, people, you know, sometimes people say, oh, you know, the God's commandments, that's slavery. That's going back to chains. That's not the case at all. There's such freedom and such blessing I can't even describe it. I can't even imagine ever back to the
not
way it was before.
Yeah, I could never imagine going back. Absolutely. And, you know, and this time, that this release that we're talking about, this is also a commandment of God. So I'll let you take us into that now. But I had to say something about the Shabbat.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, there's a weekly cycle of 6 days, and then the seventh day is a rest. Well, there's a yearly cycle. And so God set it up so for 6 years, we read back in the Torah, the people of Israel would sow and reap, work the land for 6 years, then the seventh year was a year of rest. There would be no sowing and reaping. They would have stored up enough in order to, so they didn't have to sow and reap in that seventh year. And actually my wife and I are doing that right now. We stored up enough in the year leading up to the Shemitah year, which we are not consuming the food, fruits and vegetables that would be grown this year. But the Shemitah year not only was a year of rest for the land, also a year of release, as you said at the top of the show. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 15, it says, at the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a relinquishing of debts. And so it was a time to let the debts go, basically a time of financial wiping out of accounts. And Jonathan Kahn has talked about this as well, that Shemitah, you know, it can be translated as year of release, but also that the word can be rendered fall or collapse. And so we've seen this actually in the last two Shemitah cycles. For example, if you go back to the Shemitah year, which began in the fall of 2000 and ended in the fall of 2001, on September 17th, 2001, which was Elul 29 on the biblical calendar, that was the last day of the Shemitah year. It's the day it was the day for the releasing of those debts, according to the biblical calendar. Well, on that day, September 17th, 2001, and you can look this up for yourself if you'd like, the stock market fell 684 points. It was the largest single-day stock market crash in U.S. history up to that time. Now, that record held for exactly 7 years later on the biblical calendar. We come to the next Shemitah cycle in 2008. And in 2008, once again, on Elul 29 on the Jewish calendar, the day right before Rosh Hashanah, we had another stock market crash. On September 29th, 2008, the stock market crashed 777 points. And which once again, up to that time, was the greatest one-day stock market crash of all time. So what are the odds that exactly 7 years apart on the Jewish calendar, on the biblical calendar, on Elul 29, the day right before Rosh Hashanah, we have stock market crashes, the greatest stock market crashes in U.S. history, exactly 7 years apart? You know, could it be that God is emphasizing that, hey, my calendar is important. I do things by my calendar, and you guys have not been following my ways. You guys have not been observing my commandments. And so I believe these have been warnings. And now here we come again. Another Shemitah year began last fall, in the fall of 2014, and it's going to continue up to this upcoming September. Time Elul 29 on the biblical calendar falls on September 13th, 2015. Now, that day is a Sunday, so we won't see a stock market crash on that day.
Right.
But will this be a season of financial collapse, financial crisis, economic problems? Everything certainly seems to be building up to that in the natural, setting the stage for it, as I write about constantly on my blog. And so there are many that believe that, you know, we're coming into a season once again when God's going to say, hey, look at my calendar. It matters. And we could see another major stock market decline coming up this fall.
Well, you know, we also have, the blood moon thing going on. Do you think that's going to have any emphasis on, do you think there's any emphasis there?
Yeah, I do. It's extremely interesting to note that this Shemitah year falls during the season of the blood red moons. And if your listeners are not familiar with the phenomenon, basically there's a series of four blood red moons that fall on biblical feast days in 2014 and 2015. So we had a blood red moon on Passover 2014. We had a blood red moon on Feast of Tabernacles 2014. But then we've got a blood red moon coming up on Passover on April 4th, 2015, and then another blood red moon on Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, on September 28th, 2015. And traditionally, in Jewish tradition, blood red moons are an omen of war for Israel. In fact, we saw this back in 1949, 1950. We saw it in 1967. We had blood red moons around then. We had the, you know, the whole conflict there and Israel recapturing Jerusalem. And during the cycle, we've already seen, last year we saw war between Israel and Hamas, but I personally I'm convinced that we could see more war as this cycle plays out, especially we can talk about perhaps a bit later what's happening with Israel and Iran, where they just discovered that Iran's been negotiating with the Western world about the nuclear program, Iran's been running a secret nuclear facility right outside of Tehran that they didn't tell anyone about. So, you know, and what this could do is it could break down the whole agreement, cause Israel to become much more concerned about Iran's nuclear program and potentially cause a conflict there, a war there between Israel and Iran. So that's coming up.
What I wanted to mention
before we get to that is right in the middle of these four blood red moons, coming up next month on March 20th, 2015, it's Nisan 1. It's the beginning of the year, of the biblical year. Nisan 1 is the beginning of essentially the biblical calendar. It's the first day of the first month of the biblical calendar. And traditionally, when there is a solar eclipse, a total eclipse of the sun on that day, that's considered to be an omen of judgment for the Gentiles, for the nations. And we've actually seen this before. For example, if you go back to 70 AD, on Nisan 1, there was a total eclipse of the sun. And what happened later on in 70 AD? Well, that was when the Jerusalem was conquered and the temple was destroyed. So it was a kind of an omen of judgment. And so we've got this total eclipse of the sun, which according to tradition is a sign of judgment for the nations, falling right in the middle of these blood red moons. And so, you know, what's going to happen? Well, you know, we've got this, we've got the Shemitah lining up, we've got so many things lining up. It's really quite remarkable.
Yeah, amen. Folks, I would want to be found this year. I know a lot of you think, well, because we have some pretty serious people that listen to this program, Michael. Some of them are saying right now, well, what should I do with all this? Well, don't get into anxiety. The first thing that I would do is get on my face and ask the Father what to do in the Son's name, you know, and get that personal relationship going. But following His commandments and starting with the Sabbath and getting into His rest, then you're starting to get into His will. And that is the safest place to be, is it not, Michael, is in the will of your Father.
Oh, 100%. We need to be getting closer to God than ever before. We need to be pursuing Him, running after Him, loving Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving others as we love ourselves. So, yeah, spiritual preparation is the most important preparation. And I tell people, we are not to fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So that's the exact opposite of what we're supposed to do. The reason the Lord gives us these warnings and these prophecies and these signs is so that we can know ahead of time what's coming, so that we can have peace in the middle of the storm, that we can know that God knows everything that's happening, He's in control, He has a plan, we can rest in Him, and He can bring us through all this. So we are to have peace, we are to be comforted, we are to know, okay, yeah, God is warning that some really bad things are coming. But
well, let me break in right here, because we got it about just shortly. We've got to go to break. Really quickly, give them the name of your blog where they can find it.
Yeah, my primary website is theeconomiccollapseblog.com, or if you just go to Google and you type in the economic collapse, it's the first result that comes up.
Yeah, absolutely. It's easy to find. Folks, we'll get into some of these things that we're looking like that's going to happen, and we'll get out of Michael. He'll give us some things that might stand some of you on your ear if you haven't looked at his blog before. But go over and look at it during break. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
right back.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be dependent on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Closed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. We'll, of course, the homeless or poor, but we're talking about the poor people that come from all over the city looking for things like food, clothing, Bibles, miracle prayers, you name it, they come for it. And they come to us because we're not an agency. We're a church. People walk in the door, and, you know, it's like family. That's how we treat people. And they walk in the door and they ask for something. And it's, well, you know, let me see if I've got that. If I don't, we try to pray it in. And so that's the way it goes. So people come to us. And that's the way that God, the Father's people should act. You know what I mean? That's the way it should be act. Instead, if you go to a, try going most 501(c)(3) churches, not saying everyone, but most you go to, it's a corporation, and you go to a pastor and ask him for something. And he said, well, I got to get the board of directors okay, and such and such and such and such. And so, you know, they have all those rules to go through. Well, we have one rule, and that's please the Father. and to do right, you know, to do right. That's the rule. And we don't want to hurt anybody, and we don't want to see anybody hurt. So we try to help the best that we can. That might mean I give first aid, you know, and some first aid is things that people should really go to hospitals for, but because they won't go to a hospital or can't, and they come to us. And so I do those things. And so pray about it. We really do need your help to do this, because all of these poor people that we help, you know, they can't pay for it. And, you know, the small congregation that I have, they can't pay for it either. The money has to come from donations. And, you know, we're in Kansas, and, you know, we're looked at it like a sore thumb. I mean, we're not a 501c church. We're an end time church, so to speak, and we're those weirdos down the block that help the homeless and the poor. So are you kind of getting my drift? And same way with people out there in radio land. They look, oh, the guy's too small. We'll donate to a big agency or something. Well, so we do need your help. And, you know, I believe that if you at least take us to prayer, if you'll take us to the Father, I believe that he'll put it on your heart to help support us. No, I don't want the tithe that belongs to your local church. I want you to pray about making a love offering. That's the deal. But, you know, that's up to you. So anyway, folks, you know, really, we are responsible to care one for another. We all are brothers keepers. We really are. And you know what? The Father notices all donations, no matter what size they are, as long as they come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Or you can call me at 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And I guess a few weeks back I was told that at prophecyhour.com you couldn't donate online. The thing was broke, and that's fixed. So you can go donate online if you need to, or you can mail us a check or money order. But pray about it. That's what I want you to do. Pray about it. I don't want you to do something that your Father doesn't want you to do. And now we're back with tonight's guest talking about the time of release with Michael Snyder. You still with me, Michael?
I'm here.
Well, I'm so glad that you're here. Anyway, well, otherwise I have to do the program by myself. That would be boring, wouldn't it? You know? You were telling us about the release. We're just kind of laying it out for the people. So let's go back to that.
The Shemitah, you know, and the great thing is you're starting to hear about this all over the internet. Even sometimes it gets on mainstream news programs where people are talking about this 7-year cycle. And if you look at it, and you know, previously in the program I talked about 2008 and 2001, but if you study it, and Jonathan Kahn has done this in his book about the Shemitah, it goes all the way back to the Great Depression in terms of this 7-year cycle of economic problems, recessions, financial crashes, problems in the stock market. And so here we come again, and we're coming up to, we've entered the Shemitah year. Now, typically, as Jonathan Kahn has pointed out in his book, when we see problems surrounding the Shemitah year, it usually comes at the end. That's why so many people are talking about the fall, the September and October and the immediate aftermath. So, for example, in 1987, there was a great stock market crash in the immediate aftermath of the Shemitah year. And in fact, in 1987, I should mention this, you know, this year there's going to be a solar eclipse. Remember, we talked about a different solar eclipse earlier, but there's going to be a solar eclipse on September 13th, 2015, the day when this Shemitah year ends. There was also a solar eclipse that took place on September 23rd, 1987. Once again, that was the end of the Shemitah year in 1987. Less than 30 days later, we had Black Monday, which was the greatest percentage crash in Wall Street history. So it came in the immediate aftermath of the Shemitah. So, and then going back even further with a solar eclipse that took place on September 12th, 1931, once again, the end of a Shemitah year. 8 days later, England abandoned the gold standard, setting off market crashes and bank failures all around the world. In fact, it ushered in the greatest month-long stock market percentage crash in Wall Street history. So not only have we got the end of a Shemitah year on September 13th, 2015, but we've also got the solar eclipse on this day. So, you know, all these things, these signs, these seasons seem to be pointing towards so much. And in the natural, we're seeing so many of the same patterns that occurred right before the last crash at the end of the last Shemitah year playing out once again. For example, if you look at the price of oil, just before the crash of 2008, in the summer of 2008, we saw the price of oil crash. It had been way above $100 a barrel. It crashed down to $40 a barrel. And this happened just a few months before the financial crash in the fall. And the only other time we've seen anything like that ever happen is what's happening now. Last summer, the price of oil was up above $100 a barrel. Since that time, it has fallen by more than half. Today, once again, it fell beneath $50 a barrel. And this is going to be a major, major problem for a number of reasons. For one thing, you know, since the last recession, one of the greatest areas of job growth that's kept us somewhat stable and as far as unemployment is concerned has been in the energy industry, oil, natural gas, states like Texas, North Dakota. A lot of good-paying jobs have been created by the energy industry. Well, now that process is going in reverse. We're starting to bleed oil patch jobs as companies start to shut down, scale back their production, people are getting laid off. Also, these companies spend a tremendous amount in terms of what are called capital expenditures, a lot of investment, a lot of building things, constructing things, pumping money into the economy. That is scaling back. That's bad news. But even greater concern is what this is going to mean for the financial world, because when you're talking about energy companies, they account for about 15 to 20% of all junk bonds and of all high-yield debt. And so that high-yield debt has started to crash. And the last time we saw a junk bond crash, once again, that was 2008, right before the stock market crashed in the fall. So we're starting to see problems with this junk bond debt. That's something to keep an eye on. Another thing to keep an eye on is derivatives. Because what a lot of these oil and natural gas companies did is they locked in prices for their oil in advance. They went to the banks and said, hey, okay, the price of oil right now is $100 a barrel, but we want to lock in our profits at $95 a barrel. And usually big banks, they make a lot of money on this, so they're more than happy to do this. But what's happened now is these companies spend so much of their production at a higher price, but the price of oil is below $50 a barrel. And so what's going to happen is these big banks, when these contracts come due, they're going to lose a ton of money on these oil derivatives because they've promised to pay $95, but then they're only going to be able to sell it for less than $50 a barrel. So we're talking trillions of dollars of derivatives that these financial institutions are exposed to. So that's just one of the things that is coming up that points to big trouble in the months ahead.
Okay, let me make sure I've got this correct. Okay, first off, we're in a year of release, okay? And then on March 20th, that's the new year, right? God's calendar, the Father's calendar. Then we have a solar eclipse, which means judgment for the nations, right? Okay, then we have on April 4th is the Passover. And that's going to be a blood moon or a lunar eclipse. And then on September 13th, that's Feast of Trumpets. And there's going to be another solar eclipse. And then on September 28th, there's a Feast of Tabernacles, and it's another blood moon. I don't know about you, Michael, but that's not seem like that can be any kind of a coincidence.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. And, you know, we've seen these kind of patterns before. You know, earlier I mentioned the solar eclipse that happened in AD 70, right before the temple was destroyed. But that was not the only eclipse that happened during that time period. In fact, there was a whole series of eclipses that occurred starting in AD 69 and going through AD 71. For example, on Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, AD 69, there was a partial lunar eclipse. On Nisan 1, the beginning of the year, I already mentioned, in AD 70, there was a total solar eclipse. Then Passover on AD 70, there was a lunar eclipse. Rosh Hashanah, AD 70, there was a solar eclipse. Sukkot, AD 70, lunar eclipse. Purim on AD 71, lunar eclipse. Nisan 1, AD 71, a solar eclipse. Rosh Hashanah, AD 71, solar eclipse. So back then, surrounding both before and after the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD, there was a series of eclipses on important biblical days. And now we're in the exact same kind of a period where, starting in 2014 and going through the rest of 2015, we see the series of eclipses, both blood red moons, lunar eclipses, and solar eclipses on key biblical dates. So is this a coincidence? I believe not. And yeah. I believe that time... go ahead, Dr. Dan.
No, I was going to say, I don't believe it's any kind of a coincidence. First off, I'm really not a person that believes in coincidences, period, you know. I think that things are done by divine order, let alone when we get to something like this. This is by divine order because he set the sun and the moon and the stars, everything to be where they're supposed to be at. So, therefore, he knew that these things were going to happen, and they were going to happen on his dates. And so that's no coincidence by far. That's no coincidence. Amen. And so, you know, and like you say, there's a lot of other people talking about it, but James Kahn does so good in his book about it. It's that I can never pronounce the name. It's the Semitah. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, that's how he pronounces it. That's how I pronounce it, the Shemitah. You know, although there's other pronunciations of it, but, you know, you can just call it the year of release or the seventh year rest. And it's all part of the Jubilee cycle in that, you know, there's 6 years and the seventh year is a rest. And then there's seven cycles overall, which make up 49 years. And then the 50th year is the year of Jubilee. And so there were these 50-year cycles, you know, kind of mirroring the counting of the Omer, which we do every year, you know, leading up to Pentecost. And
right.
So there's all these patterns in Scripture, which if people are interested in Bible prophecy in the last days, you really need to understand these feasts. Because, you know, myself, I was raised in the church for decades. I was studying Bible prophecy, but I felt like I never really had a true understanding of Bible prophecy until I started learning about these feasts.
Yeah, absolutely. Each feast, well, you know, the spring feasts have been fulfilled, so to speak. The spring feast is all about Yeshua coming the first time and making the sacrifice for us. But the fall feast is, especially if these Bible prophecy, I laugh so much, Michael, at these Bible prophecy people that are trying to predict Bible prophecy and they're using, but they're using secular days instead of God, the Father's holy days, which actually do mean something, like the Feast of Tabernacles. That's the time Yeshua, his thousand-year reign on earth. Trumpets. Eventually, he'll come on trumpets. You know, atonement. That's a nation. That's judgment. And so, these things will happen at a specific time. While we won't know the day or the hour, we'll know the time and the season, so to speak. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the spring feasts were fulfilled to the day, you know, and to the hour, actually. You know, you look at the Passover. For centuries, God had his people gather in Jerusalem every single year and acted out a festival, which was a precise prophecy of what Yeshua would do. And so then Yeshua finally came on the exact day in the exact city where God had his people gathering all that time, and he fulfilled it to the letter. on that day. So if you study these things, it's absolutely remarkable. The spring feasts were fulfilled to the hour, to the day, and I believe the fall feasts will be too. You know, we've got the Feast of Trumpets. You know, how often do Christians read, you know, the trumpet will blow and the dead in Christ will rise? Well, the trumpet, you know, for, you know, we've had this Feast of Trumpets. We've been, you know, God's people have been celebrating for, you know, thousands of years, but most of the church doesn't even know anything about it. Fortunately, that's starting to change.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Fortunately. And so let me say this to the folks out there. You know, Passover's coming up, and I don't know about you, Michael, but, you know, when I did my first Passover Seder, you know, it was like I saw what Yeshua was actually did, you know, in that Last Supper, and saw what he did by actually participating in one. It opened up my faith for me. It really was like, wow, why did I ever keep secular holy days, or whatever they want to call them? I guess it wouldn't be holy days, but secular days, when these have so much meaning. And folks, you're in a position right now that is being very unique, because even Christian churches across this nation are having Passovers, because they're getting back to their Hebrew roots or whatever, or the big churches are hosting them for the smaller Hebrew roots communities. Go, if you've never been to a Passover Seder, you need to go to one, and it's really not all that hard to keep. You can do it. You've got a month at least. You can go online and figure out how to do it. What do you think, Michael? You think that's a good advice, and make them go to a Passover Seder?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, there are people all over the nation who are believers who are celebrating these things. And, you know, the early church never celebrated something called Easter. Easter comes from the ancient pagan goddesses. I'm sure your listeners have heard of Ishtar or Ashtoreth. You know, the female goddesses that are condemned in the Bible, that's where Easter, the name Easter comes from. And it was a celebration of the fertility goddess, and that's where the Easter bunny comes from, and that's where, you know, the rabbits come from, and all of these things. It's from paganism. You know, the early church celebrated Passover, and then eventually Constantine came along and changed it from Passover, from the date on the biblical calendar, to a Sunday. But yeah, if you study the history of all these things, the early church celebrated Sabbath, the festivals, kept God's commandments. And
right.
What we're seeing today all over the world, and it's not any one man or organization that's in charge of this, but God is raising up a remnant that's keeping his commandments and has the testimony of Yeshua. In fact, you know, so many people say, oh, yeah, I want to be part of the remnant of the last days. I want to be on the cutting edge of what God is doing. Well, the Bible tells us what the remnant is going to look like. In the book of Revelation, it tells us what God's people, his remnant, is going to look like in the last days. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, it says, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." That's King James Version.
Yeah.
And then
here's the patience and faith of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yeshua. You know, it's a twofold thing. And that's what's going on right now. In fact, in the end times, we see people going to the Jews and pulling on their titsy and say, you know, show us your way, because surely you know God. And, you know, that's what's going on. It's that getting back to the commandments and getting back. There's just so much in these feasts. And I didn't mean to interrupt you, brother. But there's just so much in these feasts that you can just reach out and go, wow, over. You know, Mark Blitz, have you ever seen Mark Blitz's video that he made on the feast?
I have. He's a tremendous teacher. I've actually been to his congregation out in Washington State. I've
really?
In person. Yeah, he's a wonderful brother. So if people want an introduction to the Feast of the Lord, and that's what the DVD series is called that he does, it's a great introductory series where he digs it out and he shows all the biblical feasts. They're all about Yeshua. And so, but you know, you've got the Jewish people that have been keeping the feast for, you know, centuries, but they don't understand it's all about Yeshua. And then you've got the Christians who, the Christians are supposed to be all about Jesus, but they don't, they've been neglecting these feasts, which are all about Jesus. And so, fortunately, people are starting to wake up and realize the true meaning of these biblical festivals, and they're wonderful.
Yeah, amen. They're so wonderful. And, you know, that's what I say, folks. You need to just go out there and find a way to experience Passover this year. You'll be greatly blessed by it. You really, really will. And, you know, you'll start to receive blessing because the feast actually means appointed time. And we haven't got a lot of time. Speaking of appointed times, we only got about 4 minutes left, but I'll make it brief. The feast are appointed times, and it means an appointed meeting time that he would meet with you and be with you, that your father would be with you. And so you've got to experience it. You've got to experience it. We got about 3 minutes left, Michael. Is there any last things you want to bring into this?
Yeah, I would just encourage people that, as we were talking about earlier in this show, you know, I believe the judgment of God is coming on this nation. And in fact, April, I'm going to be giving a prophecy club talk about this. The judgment of God is coming. We're moving into the greatest period of instability and hardship in all of U.S. history by the time the coming years are done. But I'm encouraging people, do not be afraid. The Lord has a plan for us. And even as things get darker, he's raising up his remnant. He's raising up his people that are going to do amazing things. He's raising up a remnant that's going to keep his commandments, that's going to boldly preach the gospel and bring in the greatest harvest of souls the world has ever seen. And it's a remnant that's going to move in all the power of the Holy Spirit, just like the original apostles did. So what's coming is going to look so much like the early church, and it's going to be great, even though the times are going to be incredibly hard.
Yeah, let me say something about your meeting. Folks, he's talking about going to the Prophecy Club in Texas. Is we're at Plano, Texas, to be exact. I've known Stan for over 20 years, Michael. I do radio with him. I tape a couple of radio programs with him a week. I give the news out, and then we talk about him in Bible prophecy. No, Stan and I don't see quite eye to eye on Bible prophecy, but anyway, I do a couple of programs with him a week. But the point is he really does know how to make DVDs. He knows how to promote them. And so making that DVD, I can't wait to get my hands on it and see what it's going to be. So that'll be a good thing.
Yeah, in fact, I'm doing two DVDs. One is the kind of thing that I've been discussing today. The second DVD is going to be about the regathering of the 10 lost tribes of Israel. I'm really excited about that, and I want people to look forward to that because it's so exciting what God has planned in the years ahead.
Yeah, amen. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing those DVDs. Stan will send me a copy just as soon as he gets done. And, you know, maybe we'll come back, we'll get you to come back on and we'll talk about that Regathering of the Tribes DVD. And so you can give you a chance to let people know that they're out there and so they can get them. But, it's really time we've come to the end of the program. So, you know, you want to say goodbye and tell them where your blog's at. Tell them where your blog.
Yeah, the economiccollapseblog.com. If you just go to Google and type in the economic collapse, is the first result that comes up. And with the total solar eclipse that's coming up on March 20th, I'm actually writing an article for endoftheamericandream.com. That's my other main website. The article will be posted later tonight, and it's about this solar eclipse that's coming up next month, a sign of judgment on the world.
Wow. That's going to be something. All right, folks, go over to the Economic Collapse blog, get on their email list, and Michael, we'll do it again. Thanks so much for being on, brother. I really appreciate it, and may the Father bless and keep your family. Amen.
Oh, amen. Thank you so much for having me on, Pastor Dan, and may you and your family and your ministry be greatly blessed in Yeshua's name.
All right, amen. Bye-bye. We'll speak again. Goodbye and shalom. Folks, go check his blog out. Listen to those dates, though. I mean, can you believe that? All those things happen on the feast days. In the middle of a year release, there's something to this. you folks out there listen think, oh, that's a whole bunch of, well, you know, those aren't coincidences, and there's something to this. It's happened previously in history, and so there's a record, there's a pattern of this. So it's worth at least checking out. The Father gave us the sun and the moon and the stars for signs and seasons and so many things. So why aren't you paying attention? That's the point. Well, I do pray that you were this week that you could make even a sacrificial donation to the Wichita Mission Church. We really need your help, and we'd love to be able to go into the new year and be blessed. But we got to go. You must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And only through him is the way to the Father. You know, and it even seems like the church has forgot that. There is only one way, you know, and that's through Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. There's only one way. Why is it the church seems to say, well, that isn't so? Politically correctness? Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.